559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our land. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. Here's your host, Jackie Butcher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 1st of September in the year 2004. And Alan Watt is back with us again tonight. And Alan, thank you for being here.
That's a pleasure, yeah.
I want to do our spiritual message here before we get started. This is from Matthew. I don't have my overhead light on. This is Matthew 5, and it begins with verse 14. Now, this is in the red, folks. These are words that are attributed to Jesus. He said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I think Paul said that the only way you get to heaven is by grace, not works, right, Alan?
Yeah, there was a dispute, a big dispute about that, yeah. Peter, actually James took over from Jesus, the brother supposedly of Jesus, and he was promoting good works. Yeah. Hello?
Yes. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Did you think I was not?
I heard an abyss of no noise.
Oh, you're just used to me always going, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not do that. Where would you like to go tonight? There is something I would like to share. Remember last night when you, was it last night when you were talking about genetically engineering the worker bees that to be good workers?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got something. It's not real long. Hold on a sec. It's over at the printer. It's amazing, Alan, because every time you start talking about this stuff, our listeners start finding information. This was actually from BBC News, August 12th, monkeys test hardworking gene. It says, are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scientists in the United States have found a way of turning lazy monkeys into workaholics using gene therapy. Usually monkeys work hard only when they know a reward is coming, but the animals given this treatment did their best at all times. Monkeys are rather like people. Monkeys are rather like people in their approach to work. at least those who live in a laboratory and learn to press levers for rewards of food and water. They concentrate on their task only when the moment of delivery approaches. And from the National, listen to this, monkeys under the influence of the treatment don't procrastinate. Dr. Barry Richmond, U.S. National Institute of Mental Health, Alan. Yes. It says researchers at the National Institute of Mental Health near Washington, D.C., led by Dr. Richard Barry Richmond, have now developed...
Monkey's mouth.
Pardon?
Oh, sorry, there's a tape delay, I think, coming across the station.
There is. There's. You mean on shortwave?
Yeah.
Yeah, there always is a tape delay.
Okay.
Yeah. This is on the Internet. I think that's why it is.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but anyway, the whole program will be heard by our shortwave listeners. Okay, listen. Dr. Barry Richmond, the researchers at this National Institute of Mental Health have now developed a genetic treatment which changes their work habits markedly. And this is a quote by Dr. Richmond. He says, normal monkeys and people procrastinate, tend not to work very well when they have a lot of time to get the job done, and work better when the reward is nearer in time. The monkeys under the influence of the treatment don't procrastinate, he said. The treatment consists of blocking an important brain chemical, dopamine. After about 10 weeks, it had worn off, and the monkeys were back to their usual unmotivated selves. Dr. Richmond believes treatments based on this concept could one day benefit people with conditions like depression, where motivation has largely disappeared from their lives. But for the rest of us, the day when such treatments fall into the hands of our bosses may be one we would prefer to put off. That was from the BBC News, August 12th. Thanks. This is Eric sent this over, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just exactly what you were talking about.
Well, I've been doing this for a long time.
I know
it, but conditioning us to the acceptance of it.
It's confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you say some things that are so far out that sometimes people just sit there with their mouths open. I've had listeners, in fact, a listener called today, and he's been really appreciating in the broadcast, but he said he sits there half the time with his mouth hanging open in awe or in shock.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to share this, because it is blatant, just exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Aldous Huxley gave lectures on stimulating the brain and by mechanical and electrical means, and also by the use of drugs back in the 1960s. And he worked for the Tavistock Institute in England, in London. And most of his work was not involved in fictional writing. We know Brave New World was one of his, but most of his work was actually promoting these so-called benefits of science. And he thought it was fantastic that they could change the behavior of people by putting wires into their brains and having other people control them. He thought this was just great. And he gave a lecture at Berkeley University in about 1967 on that very subject. They've been doing this for an awful long time.
Yeah. Well, this said it was it's gene research, and it is from the National Institute of Mental Health.
Yeah.
God, you know, that is creepy.
Well, someone should really define mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Because who is defining it for us, you see?
Yep.
And we never think about that. It's the same with that little topic about dopamine that you mentioned there. Is our primary function here to serve the system as workers, you know?
Yeah.
So these questions are never asked, you see. Or is the spare time that a person has perhaps necessary for your real mental health? And if that's deprived, if you're getting deprived of that to make you work more and more efficiently, a system will definitely benefit, but I don't think you personally will.
You don't think we personally will?
I very much doubt it.
You
yeah.
very much know that we won't.
Yeah, yeah.
So
someone, you see, all these institutions have an agenda. They'll get their agenda from the apex of the pyramid, and they define what's normal and what our functions as human beings are supposed to be, and they can completely reverse the meanings off their own laws, you might call them, of psychiatry or psychology when they change their politics. I mean, the Soviet Union would lock people up for simply pointing out that the government was completely corrupt, and they'd lock you up as a psychiatric patient for saying so.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very, very careful about these definitions that keep getting thrown out,
mm-hmm.
and we just blindly accept them.
You mean like mental health?
Yeah, what is mental health?
Yeah, right.
Who is defining it for us?
Yep. Well, I've told this before, and I probably have told you,
mm-hmm.
pre-95 or sometime in 95, so I lost the document, but I was faxed a proposed bill from Colorado State.
Yeah.
And they were redefining the terms mental health for insurance purposes,
mm-hmm.
and I actually got it from the legislature, but one of the new definitions was of a person who is mentally deranged or mentally ill,
uh-huh.
is somebody who has an abnormal fear or unnatural fear of the government.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That, and I don't ever know what happened to that. I don't know if it was a proposed amendment to the Insurance Act, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have any listeners in Colorado, and you know if they were doing it there, and if that doggone thing passed, it's probably laying there, at least unknown by most people in
mm-hmm.
a lot of states, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
An unnatural or abnormal fear of the government.
Well, I guess all historians must be crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the one thing that crops up over and over down through history is what the government ends up doing to the people. Yeah. Once they get to a certain level of power and arrogance, all hell breaks loose, and it's generally caused by the very governments that are supposed to organize our lives for us.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to always be watching governments because... Well, apart from that, the governments are far too big anyway. You cannot watch them. They're too big. Too big. There are too many departments. They have a department for every part or function of your life today.
Yeah.
And,
well, that follows right along with the Talmud, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's literally all-encompassing. And it isn't just your federal government. It's also your state government. They all get the laws passed from the United Nations. And that's another super government with an equivalent department of bureaucrats dealing with everything that your federal government's dealing with. So you have millions and millions of bureaucrats with their own little agendas written down for them, their own protocols to follow, regardless of who you think is in power.
Well, the bureaucrats actually don't have their own agenda. I mean, the minions, the ones that
yeah.
are following out the orders.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a school, a
yeah.
special school for bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
And our listeners need to remember that a bureaucrat is a non-elected. It's an appointed or paid, but they're not elected.
Yeah.
So they're not answerable to the people.
And
well,
you find when you look
either.
Into federal bureaucrats, they're all hereditary positions.
Yes.
And so you have more family dynasties, old family dynasties, stretching way back down through time, simply putting their own children into their own jobs.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that... and, of course, they never talked about... We always get diverted to the politicians, the front men, you know.
Do you remember the woman governor of New Jersey, Christy something, Whitman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really was driven home to me, the point that you just made,
mm-hmm.
when I saw a photograph of her 4 years old with President Eisenhower.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's just incredible when you think of how we're trained from birth to believe the system is, and how it truly is, which is completely different from anything we've been told.
Yeah.
And I say every bureaucracy has its protocols. They have their agenda written down to follow, and they implement them day after day, year after year. Back when they created the League of Nations, H.G. Wells was writing that now the bureaucracies, the heads of the bureaucrats at the federal level, could correspond and travel and meet their brethren in other countries and basically iron out their differences,
their counterparts.
Their
counterparts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it makes, to an extent, the politicians almost irrelevant.
However, Alan, that is also on the state and on the local level,
yeah,
because they have international mayors' associations.
That's right. Yeah.
The Council of State Governments,
mm-hmm.
is an international organization.
And the same with the International Association of Police Chiefs.
Oh yeah, they almost all have their counterparts today.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All over the world.
That's right. And so, and you find that all of them, the heads of them attend meetings at the United Nations,
yep.
to find out the next part of their policy.
And I read something one time where it, I think it was one of the UN, when they did the women's group and those different, what do they call them? Anyway, one of the elite said that they had invited state and national and some local officials so that they could feel that they're part of this whole process.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they feel like such big shots.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, the ego is a tremendous thing to play with.
I think that's Lucifer.
Oh, yeah, they know how to manipulate the ego. Have their photograph taken at some high function at the United Nations,
yep.
and that's on the mantelpiece for everyone to see.
Oh yeah, blown up big on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, really, the public have no real input into what's happening. In fact, they don't even really know what's happening most of the time until laws are actually implemented.
They're kept too busy.
You know, even all the housing codes. To do with building houses,
yes.
Electrical, plumbing, everything.
Yes.
Structure-wise, septic tank, all that is coming from the United
yes,
Nations.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a report on two international meetings that were held. One was in Moscow, in the USSR,
yeah.
and this is exactly what they were dealing with, zoning laws,
mm-hmm.
regional governance, etc.
Yeah.
It was very creepy to read it, and because they don't really pull any punches at all, even a layperson can understand what the heck they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, I remember a quote where they were talking about the regional planner. One of their most important functions is the transference of property from private to public use,
yeah.
with the least amount of with ease, in other words. They have
yeah.
to learn to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. And now, of course, they have new weapons. They have weather control to flood out the farmers.
Yes.
Or give them a drought and dry them out. They have so many weapons at their control, which they have been using for years. And they are gradually getting their way. You'll find that all the major hurricanes and cyclones and so on that hit the world today are right along the path of the very areas they want cleared for the wildlife species, but they want them cleared for of human habitation.
I received an email about this Hurricane Charlie,
mm-hmm.
and it was a man who was there on the spot, and he took pictures.
Yeah.
And he said that they are so under reporting as far as the deaths
mm-hmm.
and the devastation that had taken place.
Yeah.
And my, you know, little flags went up.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that sent it over to me, I said, I wonder what's going on here. What's to hide? I wonder if this was a real one or was it part of weather control?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he would please send me anything he gets on it. And the one I got today, which I haven't read yet, said Hurricane Charlie is this scalar weather,
mm-hmm.
scalar weather control. And when you mentioned this too about where the wildlands are going to be,
yeah,
I found a map, and this was from their wildlands project,
mm-hmm.
and they this was in the North American continent, and basically the U.S. and they were talking about the spine of the western border. And they had this great big gray arrow, a real wide swath,
yeah.
that went all the way up from Canada, all the way down Central America into parts of Mexico. And then the other one, I think they called it the Arctic something. This arrow went all the way across the top, partly in Canada and the U.S., mostly in the U.S., from the northern U.S., all the way across, and it looked like almost the entire state of Pennsylvania was inside that arrow, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they have their plans already made. I mean, as I say, with the Tesla technology, that I think 8 years ago they admitted there were over 54, 55 Tesla stations. HARP stations worldwide. That's what they admitted to.
Yeah.
And in the 1970s, the U.S. and other countries signed a treaty not to use this as weaponry against other countries.
Well, actually, it was the ENMAD treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And what they said is that it prohibited the hostile use of the technology mm-hmm. that can cause earthquakes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and I can't remember all of it, but it mentioned rainfall.
Yeah,
you
and
know.
It said they could actually create a hurricane out in sea, at sea and bring it in towards land and guide it anywhere they wanted to.
And that was in the 70s. I've got it in a book from the United Nations.
Yeah. So they got it all. And it's a great weapon because they'll never admit they're actually using it to the public. Although if the public look up and watch all the spraying that's going on, because I'm sure they're using it hand in glove with this technology.
Sure.
Because with the aluminum oxides and titanium traces in the air nowadays, they're literally creating a circuit, a fantastic circuit for this electromagnetic pulsation to travel along. So they are using it. But they won't admit it. You see. They will admit, though, the governments will admit, if you ask them, that the skies are being sprayed with something, but they cannot tell you for reasons of national security. That's the standard reply letter you get back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, advanced sciences have always been used on the public, and the public are always the last to know.
Mm-hmm.
No different from the polio vaccines and the fact that they knew what all these simian viruses would cause down the road. They tell you 50 years later, you know.
I told you that I'm in the process of writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for a couple of years. It's set for almost a whole year after Chuck passed over, but in the preface of it, I was talking about the plan for world dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this, means everything, every aspect of our lives. And we can get along without a lot of things but we need good, clean, healthy food and fresh water and clean air.
Yeah.
And then I went down the list of the food and the water and the air and what they're doing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been bothering me because I never had brought up, well, I didn't know about it at the time, the xenoestrogens that we were talking about last night.
Yeah.
And Ellen, see, because I had quoted in there that statement by, Charles Galton Darwin, Galton Darwin,
mm-hmm.
in his Next Million Years.
Yeah.
And that was 1952. And he said that it is in the biological sciences that the most exciting possibilities suggest themselves. I will only speculate on a few among these possibilities which might have great effect on human life. I've already referred to the possibility of quite new sources of food, and I need not enlarge on that further. And then when he mentioned this thing on hormones,
mm-hmm.
I really didn't see how that... But I put it in there anyway.
Uh-huh.
He says hormones, those internal chemical secretions which so largely regulate the operations of the human body.
Yeah.
The artificial use of hormones has already, this was 1952, been shown to have profound effects on the behavior of animals, might have similar effects on man. And then he talked about a drug which might remove the urgency of sexual desire and so reproduced in humanity the status of workers in a beehive.
Yeah.
To produce effects of these kinds, there must be a master, and the master must be above and not subject to the procedure he is enforcing on his subjects. It's what you mentioned last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so because that really had bothered me, I decided that I was going to add that information on xenoestrogens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article I found. Now, remember, this book that Darwin put out was 52, and a report from 2002, I believe, from a Canadian, Dr. Kay Jensen, he said, over the past 50 years, we have seen a dramatic increase in estrogen-dominant conditions. And I thought, wow, 50 years ago was when this book, or over 50 years ago, but it was when the book was published. And what I realized is because this one article gave sources, different sources of xenoestrogens, Alan.
Yeah.
Xenoestrogens are in the food we eat. They are in the water that we drink, and it is in the air that we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And we slather it all over our bodies and our children's bodies.
Yeah. Sure.
So they've covered the whole gamut. There are over 60,000 ways that we ingest, or osmotically, is that the word, osmosis,
mm-hmm.
Take it in through the body.
Yeah.
Over 60,000 ways, and the devastating effects is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we already see the changes in society, too. And you have the effeminate men and the very masculine woman.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. He said that in Canada that, just a minute here, I'm sorry. He said that Canada, it has the highest incidence of hysterectomies other than the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and it's double of any other country in
yep.
Europe, and that the many of the reasons that women, and endometriosis is a big one, and
yep.
endometriosis is caused by estrogen dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said something like 35% of women by the time they're 60 will have had a hysterectomy, and many of them would not even be necessary if the hormones were balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well, we're going to be taking a break here, and I was supposed to remember to call them and ask them to turn the music down, because I've been told by listeners that when the music starts, and the music does play for quite a while, that the music overrides our voices.
Well, okay.
So that we cannot actually be heard. But ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear me, we will be right back after this. Please get your pen in your hand, if you will, and a paper, and please take my address down. And then, Alan, when we get back,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you to take this wherever you want to take it. But I just have this stuff tonight that was such a confirmation from what you said last night. I just wanted to share that.
You're listening to the First Amendment Radio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at First Amendment Radio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. I just ran to get my address book because we meant to do this last night and didn't. I want to remind you that Alan has two booklets available that he put together. This was some time back when we did quite a long series. And so much of what he put into the booklets, for those of you who were not listening that time, and even if you were, the booklets take it beyond some of the things we discussed and confirm so many of the subjects that Alan discussed. And so I wanted you to know that they are available. They're $20 each, a $20 donation, and I'm going to give you Alan's address if you want to order them, and we will get it changed on our website. If you have internet access, this is listed in our resources section as recommended reading material, but the address is wrong. It has not been changed yet. So take this address down.
You're on.
Pardon?
It's okay. I was talking to someone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, take this down, folks, and please do not send it to Alan Watt. Send it to Box Holder. Box Holder, that is Site 41, S-I-T-E 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario. Estaire is E, S is in Samuel, T is in Thomas, A-I-R-E as in Edward. Estaire, Ontario. The postal code is P as in Paul, 3, P3, E as in Edward, 4, P3, E4, N as in Nancy, 1. So that is P3, E4, N1, and that is Canada, but be sure to put Canada on it. And when you send your donation, please either send it FRN or get an international postal money order. You can get it at your post office. But if you send a check or a regular money order or cashier's check, he won't be able to cash it. So you want to send an international postal money order or FRNs. It's $20 donation for each of the booklets. And Alan has said that if you are on a very limited income, if you cannot afford to send $20 for each, send what you can, please. And if you can't afford anything, he will send it to you, and I am counting on you that we have no listeners that would ever have the money to send a donation and say that you couldn't do it. So I will give that one more time. It is Box Holder, P.O. Box, or excuse me, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, P3, E4, N1. Alan.
Yeah, you might as well give out my phone number, too.
Oh, you want your phone number given out, okay.
I'll take the risk, yeah.
Okay. Alan's phone number, folks, is 705-695-0416. And Alan has said that the best time to get a hold of him, and if this has changed, Alan, let me know, around 10 in the morning or around 7 or so in the evening. Is it around or at 7 or after, Alan?
Yeah, 7 or after.
7 or after. Okay. That's 705-695-0416. There we go, Alan.
Yeah. I'd also like to mention that for the farmers who are interested in what's happening to their industry, there is a booth at the International Plowing Match in an expo, which is held every year in Canada. This year it's in Meaford, Ontario, and it's on the September 22nd to the 26th, and there will be a booth there, and it's called Matrix Explained.
Is that you?
Well, there's a couple of people I know who are holding this booth to tell the farmers and others, you know, what's really going on with the weather, with their crops, and what the UN agenda is. And I might be there too. Yeah.
All right, and that's in Meaford, did you say?
Meaford, yeah.
Meaford.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Meaford, Ontario.
Yep.
September 22nd to 26th.
Yep.
And the booth is The Matrix Explained. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it will be, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But because the farmers, you know, they really don't know the full agenda, because they can't believe their own governments are intent on putting them out of business.
They think the governments love us.
Yes, they don't know the agenda, you know, that food simply will not be produced here in the future. That is the agenda. Under the United Nations and NAFTA, they've already set up Chile and other countries to be the food manufacturers for basically the world. Yeah.
I was just going to say that it appears that the nations, the farmers that they're taking down, are in Canada, America, Australia, probably the UK, or do they do much farming there?
The UK is in the same boat. They had their mad cow slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
One cow and everything in Britain was slaughtered. And, of course, they are trying to turn the world into a vegetarian world. So we'll have nothing to eat but their modified vegetables. But
Alan, in this report on xenoestrogens...
I think we should really call it Xena.
Xena?
Yeah, the warrior princess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they said that in virtually every single vegetable that's grown today is filled, and fruits, berries, filled with xenoestrogens.
Yeah.
Because the xenoestrogens are used as the weed control. And so it's in the soil, and now it's in the plants.
Yeah, and now it's in the people, because they must get rid of the excess weeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fantastic, too, how they encourage people to go through the fad of buying the spring bottled water that comes in these lovely plastic bottles.
Yep.
And, you know, it's also that plastic is not completely inert, so it's giving off molecules all the time. And all plastic molecules contain synthetic estrogen.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's mentioned also. And it says that the softer the plastic... And I don't know if this is, I guess the best thing to do is avoid plastic, period.
Yeah.
But it said check, because if you buy juice in plastic bottles and so many of the things, and of course, like you said, all this water. But they said if there's a number in a pyramid on the bottle, and if it's less than a 7, it's leaching estrogens like the devil.
Yeah.
And saran wrap is really bad, and of course people shouldn't be using microwave ovens anyway, and they do, and well, they cover the stuff with saran wrap, and according to Kurt Newby, it's sort of like, I could be overstating this, but I don't think I am, when you cover something with saran and put it in your microwave, you increase the estrogen in it by 20 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It all leaches right out of the plastic.
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah,
Alan.
They've covered all the bases.
Huh.
And Monsanto knew all this back in the 1950s. The estrogen from plastic does to people. They knew
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah. And nothing is ever by accident, you know. Nothing.
No.
It's all well planned and rehearsed long, long before. Yeah. And that's just the world that we really live in. They tell you generally 50 years after the fact when most of the people have died. And,
yeah.
And the generation growing up then don't care. Because
they're
taught that anything that happened a few years ago is ancient history.
They've been deneuralized, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But no, everything is used as a weapon. And I believe one of the women who were in charge of the UN Agricultural Department said that. And I think people really missed the point. There's a double meaning there when she said that food has always been used as a weapon of war, and we shall use it.
And she said, we make no apologies.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I've got that quote right here that on this sheet that I printed out.
Mm-hmm.
And she, by the way, used to be a Rockefeller before she had her post. Bertini, here it is. She said, food is power.
Mm-hmm.
We use it to change behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Some may call that bribery. We do not apologize.
Right.
And before she was with the UN, she was a former confidential assistant to New York State Governor Nelson Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lovely philanthropic organization.
Change behavior.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
important. That word, that statement that she made,
mm-hmm.
it just speaks volumes.
Oh, it does. More than the average person would think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because, as I say, these people plan the future long, you know, sometimes hundreds of years before. And they knew all this stuff about the estrogen back in the 50s, at least.
Well, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I found interesting, the correlation.
Mm-hmm.
This article by this doctor that said, for the past 50 years,
yeah.
we have been seeing a rise in, they call it estrogen dominant syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 1952,
mm-hmm.
when Darwin's book was published, Alan,
yeah.
where he said, we're going to use artificial hormones.
Yeah, and he was a physicist.
Yeah, and you know, I've got Dr. John Lee's an audio tape, and also a book that he wrote,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea, you know, when I think of hormones, and I think the average person thinks of hormones, we think of progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone,
mm-hmm.
but yet there are so many of them, and according to Dr. Lee, and he really has, he's seemed to have risen to the top with his research, every function of the body, hormones are involved.
Yeah, the whole endocrine system that sets even adrenaline and so on into
yeah.
operation receives its information via hormones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regulate, that's the word yeah. I was looking for.
Yeah.
And there's more than just the three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's lots of them.
And that's what they're doing. They're genetically
mm-hmm.
engineering the body
yeah.
by the use of their artificial hormones.
Yeah. Yeah. And they know exactly where they're going with it, too. And they will have, eventually, a passive, docile population if they get their way.
What do you mean, eventually, Alan?
Well, they have the bulk already, but they always did, really. It's those who have the capacity to wake up and stand up for themselves that they're really after, you know. Although they are trying to make the rest far more efficient, especially than they've ever been. In fact, Charles Galton Darwin also said that. He says, we are introducing a more efficient form of slavery. So, and that book was applauded by all the big newspaper companies of its day. If you look at their claims on the back page.
And I want to remind our listeners, you said it, and I heard it, but I didn't really hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about it later, about the, you were mentioning it with this Dr. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a biophysicist? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was over, a lot of people are aware of this if they have internet access. And, of course, I guess it was on the news, but he was killed. And what you pointed out, which I did not know, is he actually admitted that he was involved in with Israel in a program that was creating a gene, or a DNA or gene selective virus or bacteria.
The British government, or Porton Downs, that's the big bacterial warfare department for Britain, collaborated with Israel. And mind you, they've been doing this for a lot longer than 5 years that Kelly mentioned. But he did mention they've been creating viruses, smart genes that would attack, or smart viruses that would attack people with certain ethnic genes. And they had a whole range of them for every, basically, ethnic group on the planet.
Huh.
Yeah. And I think he knew once he admitted that, that it wasn't just the fact that he exposed all the lies that Blair was talking about, the weapons of mass destruction being in Iraq. It was also because he knew he was blowing the whistle on a far greater danger that was that had already been developed, all this stuff with Britain, Israel, and I've no doubt the U.S. was involved
course.
As well.
Well,
yeah.
Hell. The U.S. is under the control of the Zionist neocons, they call them today.
Well, the U.S. certainly funds them. And
Alan, mm-hmm. they're in every high position in this country.
Yeah.
They're in the. They control the military.
Yeah.
They control the State Department. They control the U.S. government, Inc. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
I read a list to our listeners a few weeks ago, and it was a list of 30 in some of the top positions, and they're in total control of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, as I say, if people were to dwell on all the things that could happen, it could collapse your whole mind, basically, you know. I think that's what some of us are
trying
to
do.
Just a minute. I'm sorry, Alan. Right. I didn't say we would not like to take calls tonight. Do you want to take a call?
Sure, yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. Your friend George from New York. I thought I'd call you up to tell you about this mess over here with all this traffic and cops. It's just one big piece
of me. Oh, George?
Yeah.
We're on the air with a guest.
Oh, I see. I'm interrupting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, George.
Okay, Jackie. Have a nice evening.
You too. He's calling from New York. They're having the Republican convention there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I guess he wanted to report on what was going on. I'm not saying it is not important, but it's just one of the jillions of details of what is happening, Alan, and to dwell on that stuff,
yeah,
it just seems a waste of our time,
yeah,
and a waste of our listeners' money.
Absolutely. Because the problem is that, as I say, there's so much going on, and if you knew it all, never mind some of it's bad enough, that can close you down. It can paralyze you with fear. And I think that's what its intent is also to do.
Yes, well, some might say that this broadcast that we do could paralyze people with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that at a quarter till.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of saying, is there something uplifting
mm-hmm.
that we could talk about before this broadcast is over tonight?
Yeah.
Can we?
I think it is, because until people come to their own spiritual consciousness and stand up for themselves as an individual against basically anything and everything that they disagree with. And it doesn't matter what really happens to you eventually here in this planet, this world, because this isn't the end of everything. But you can always say and know that you've done the right thing for yourself. And by doing that, it can benefit others anyway. People take a long time to follow that which is right, and they generally do it by example. So, and you will get hit hard if you simply stand up for yourself in this day and age. Those who think they're still in a free society will find it very, very quickly how free they are when they start saying no to all the officials that come around in this day and age, demanding things, etc. But you have to live what is right for yourself and take the consequences for it, and in the knowledge that others will eventually follow that same route. It simply takes people to start doing it.
In other words, become an example, a demonstration.
You have to be an individual walking, living, breathing demonstration of what is right. You cannot join a group, because the groups are generally created by the elite for you to follow, or else they're so quickly infiltrated, they're taken over by experts so quickly. Bill Cooper, I think, even started a party up. Was it the Libertarian Party or the Constitutional Party?
Nah, he didn't. He was involved in the Constitution Party for a while, but
and then he came out on the air and said he was giving it up because it was already infiltrated and taken over.
That's right.
Yeah. And you cannot form groups and try to fight this system by using the system. You cannot do it. They haven't left you any real methods of redress whatsoever. And let's be honest, we're not multi-billionaires who can go into court and fight things forever. They know that too. That's why the system is set up that way. But you will generally suffer for doing the right things in this world. But as long as you realize that you are a spirit, basically, then you can leave this place behind at the right time, regardless of what happens, and you have done the right thing for yourself.
And for many other people.
And for many others, yeah.
Well, what we were talking about last night, we were talking about time not being linear,
yeah.
But that there are many dimensions, and that is when it hit me and occurred to me that everything that we do here is affecting every other dimension and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything we do right for the right reason makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in a flash of creation, every possibility already exists,
yes,
for everything to happen in time. This thing called time that suddenly bursts forth into existence. And so past, present, and future are all to an extent coexisting at the same time. And you will influence more by finding out who you are and doing the right thing when you're here, the right things all through your life.
In other words, instead of waiting and saying, well, I'm earning my place in heaven,
yeah,
and saying certain things that the church tells us we're mm-hmm. supposed to say,
yeah,
you know, I believe in Jesus Christ and his, mm-hmm. you know, his blood. He's God's son, yeah, God in the flesh, and he died on the cross, and he saved me from all my sins. He saved the world from all the sins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is so weakening and limiting to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, if they read in the Old Testament, Jesus said, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yeah.
He didn't say, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, my blood is going to wash away your sins. The church said that, Alan.
Yeah, I know.
I know you know it. I know you know it.
Yeah, but the church also made a dogma of the fact that he came to save the whole world.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He said, I come to look for the lost sheep. The lost sheep, you know. The people who were lost in the system and knew it. They knew it was a system. That's what he was looking for. Those who were alive.
Who
were trying to stand up, you might say.
Uh-huh.
And it's never been any different. But he also said, follow me.
Yes.
Do as I do.
Yes.
He didn't say, I'm going to do it all for you.
Yes.
And it's never been any different.
And you made a statement one time, and I'd like to repeat it. You said, I don't really believe that he used the word sheep,
yeah,
because sheep are the stupidest animals in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good shepherd with the crook.
Yeah.
And we talked about this some time ago, how the crook is used to, you know, they're so stupid that if they get into a corner, they don't know how to get out.
Yeah.
And pull them out of a corner, turn them around.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that crook, that of the good shepherd, has been pictured many times in the hands of the pharaohs, Alan.
Well, the pharaohs had the rod and the staff.
Uh-huh.
And the staff was the crook. And every bishop, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, and you'll see the same thing in Rome, has that crook there, you see. And it's well named crook because they are all crooks. They've certainly fleeced the sheep indeed for a long, long time. But since Jesus told his followers, the Father is in me and I am in you, well, I don't think he was meaning that the Father is also a sheep, or that he was,
right,
or that you were.
Right.
You know. So, all church organizations have been given to the public for control purposes only. And whatever truth that manages to survive a particular individual is vastly warped in favor of governmental control, and it makes the people placid and you follow along.
Yeah.
Christianity was supposed to free you, and the truth would make you free.
Well, Jesus didn't say Christianity would free you.
Mm-hmm.
He said the truth will make you free.
That's right, yeah.
And they took some of his messages,
mm-hmm,
and they turned it into a religion.
Yeah.
And we're out of time here. Will you finish out this week with us?
Sure, I will.
Tomorrow night is the last broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I haven't mentioned our website. And if you haven't been to sweetliberty.org, I urge you to do so. There's a lot of wonderful information there. And I also urge you, if you appreciate and value the information that you get from this broadcast, come forth and become a participating listener sponsor. Alan will be back with us tomorrow night. And until then, thank you for being here, and God bless you. Thank you, Alan.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, it's our pleasure to you. Good night, folks.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the Sweet Liberty